Well, good morning. It's so good to be with you today. For those of you that are visiting with us, I am not Chad Poe. He is not able to be with us today. He is preaching and teaching, but my name is Chris Moore, and I have the privilege, my family and I, of being members of Grace Bible Church here. So it is my privilege to come before you today and share the Word of God with you. And I want to ask you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, and the title of the message today is The Blessing of Delight. Psalm 1, and the title of the message is The Blessing of Delight. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in season. His leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. But the ungodly are not so, for they are like the chaff that the wind blows away. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you for allowing us to corporately gather to worship as a church family. We thank you for our guests that are with us today. We ask your blessing upon them. And God, we thank you for delighting in us, in your children. And because you delight in us, we can delight in you. So God, we love you, and we thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you know that God delights in you? If you belong to God, he delights in you. He thinks you're important. He cares about you. He delights in you. And if you don't mind, I would like for you to take a moment, and if you know the person next to you, or even if you don't know them, but would you tell them, in Jesus, God delights in you? Would you do that? And would you tell yourself that God delights in you? If you belong to the Lord God through Christ, that God delights in me. Would you do that? If you remember, I preached a sermon one time, and I quoted John Flavel. And John Flavel was a Puritan, and he said, to live a life according to the Word of God, the truth of God's Word must first pass through your mind, which is the place of knowledge, and then to your heart, which is the place of affection, and then to your will, which is the place of doing or action. And John Flavel said, sometimes it's 1,000 miles from my head to my heart, but if it ever gets here, it's only a short distance to my feet. What you know is very important. Amen? But not only what you know, what you embrace with your heart. In America, there's a lot of knowledge out there, and there's a lot of doing out there. But sometimes I think we could focus even more on that middle part. The place of affection, the heart. Because from there drives our doing. The knowledge drives our doing. The affection drives our doing. And today, as a brother in Christ, I just want to really encourage you today. I want you to know that God delights in you. God wants you to know that he delights in you. If you belong to him through and in Christ Jesus, God delights in you. God takes great pleasure in you. Psalm 147, 10 through 11 says, his delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. In Zephaniah 3, some of you are familiar with this passage in verse 14 through 17. It says that God sings and rejoices over his people. In verse 15, he sings over those whom he has removed his judgments. He sings over people who have rebelled and who have been restored. He sings over people who have no righteousness in themselves. He sings over those who have every reason to fear the face of God, not desire it. God delights in you. And because he first delighted in you, we get to sing those songs, Brother Jared. Amen. And you get to lead us with your team beautifully, that we can delight in him and sing those glorious songs. Paul Tripp said this, "I don't know if you have ever thought about this, but God is really committed to the thriving of the creatures that he has made in his image. You see this from the very first moments of creation, that God puts Adam and Eve in this beautiful garden where they have everything that they need. And he says, you go be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. You thrive. When God brought Israel out of slavery, he gave them his law. And this law was so that they would know how to live and so that they would thrive. God gave them the promised land, a land filled with milk and honey, so that they would thrive. God sent his son to give us not just life, but life overflowing, life abundant. And by his grace, we can thrive." Amen. In our text today, the psalmist begins the first chapter here with a desire to teach us the way of blessedness, to teach us the way of thriving, and to warn us also of the sure destruction of sinners without a Savior. And the way he does that is he contrasts the righteous in what he does and what he does not do. We see what God is calling the righteous to do, and he's calling us to understand what the righteous do not do. So let's look this morning in verse 1, the way of the righteous. And this is what the righteous man does not do. Blessed is the man or woman. Blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, or some translations, mockers. And let's start out with that first word in the Psalms, blessed. Blessed. That word blessed is the Hebrew word esher, and it's obviously translated blessed, but it comes from another Hebrew word, ashar, and it means to be straight or to be right. To be straight with God or to be right with God. Blessed. It means blessedness, and it's in the Hebrew, it's a plural. So it's not just a single thing, it's an eruption of blessing. It's the blessedness of the Lord and what the Lord does for us and what the Lord desires to do in us and through us. What blessed means here is supremely happy and fulfilled. But I want to share with you a little nugget here. It doesn't mean happy in the modern sense. Because happy in the modern sense is built by feelings in many cases. And it's unbiblical. But happiness in the biblical sense is given by God. And it comes from him. And he defines it. And it's on his terms. It's not on what the world says. So in that case, blessed here in the Hebrew, it means to be supremely happy or fulfilled. It's a multiplicity of blessings. It's an intensification of blessings. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman. Blessed is the boy. Blessed is the girl. That does not do what? That does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. You see, the blessed man does not do certain things. There's not a freedom to do whatever you want to do if you belong to the Lord. Not sure there'd be a desire to be that way. We belong to the Lord now. He's not only our Savior, He's our Lord. Amen? He's our Lord, and He expects us to live a certain way. The blessed man does not do certain things. There is a way that he will not walk. There is a path that he will not stand in. And there is a seat that he will not sit in. Some commentators say this is really kind of a progression of the wicked. Spurgeon said this: when men are living in sin, they go from bad to worse. At first, they merely walk in the counsel of the wicked, who forget God. The evil is rather practical, then it's habitual. But after that, they become habituated to evil, and they stand in the way of open sinners who willfully violate God's commandments. And if left alone, they go one step further, and they become themselves pestilent teachers and tempters of others. And thus they sit in the sin, in the seat of the scoffers. This is the wicked. The ungodly man has his counsel. The sinner has his way. And the scorner has his seat. But this is what the wicked do. This is the description of the righteous and what they do not do. In verse 2, we see what the righteous does. The blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, does not stand in the way of sinners, does not sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight. Because God first delighted in you by granting you repentance and faith, and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you then now delight in God. And he's calling us to this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And this is not just the first five books. This is all of God's word. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And look what he does. And on his law he meditates day and night. Day and night. His delight again is in the law of the Lord. Throughout Psalms, we see the phrase, the law of the Lord. And again, it's used to describe God's entire word. Not only, excuse me, I'm a sweater. Pardon me. Not only is it, again, the law, but it's the totality of God's word. And it's used to describe the entire word of God. The righteous man is delighted in the word of God. I want to ask you this morning, do you delight in this precious book? Do you delight in the Word of God? I'm so grateful that I belong to a church that I believe has a high view of the Word of God. Amen? And I want you to know, I don't sit down and talk to Jared and I don't talk to Chad on a weekly basis about what they do, but I am very grateful how God moves our leaders to emphasize to us the Word of God. I believe when we come here corporately and when we come into our life groups and we are given the outline, so to speak, of the messages each Sunday, and we're able to open up the Word of God together and we're able to discuss it together and we're able to be exhorted from our shepherds and our leaders and our elders, that's part of what we're talking about here. As we're led in the prayer, the Nicene Creed, as we're led in the Lord's Prayer, as we sing the Word of God, it's because we delight in it. We know this because the Word says in Proverbs 4:14-15, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. You see, the righteous man knows where to find godly counsel. Psalm 119:24, your testimonies are my delight, they are my counselors. This is God's testimonies. Amen. You see, the righteous can have confidence. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 112:1, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. The righteous man knows. The righteous man knows that God himself said, and the Lord Jesus said in the New Testament, man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Where do we find that? In the law of God. In the law of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I want to ask you, from God's economy, from God's word, God's definition of happiness, what makes you happy? What makes you contented? What gets you excited? What's important to you? What do you delight in? What do I delight in? You see, the righteous man finds his delight in the law of the Lord. Martin Luther said something interesting. He said that he could not live in paradise without the word of God, but he could live well enough in hell with it. That's a pretty profound and provocative statement. I still am struggling with that. But I think I understand what he's saying. The word of God was so important to him. How important is that word to us? Spurgeon said, man must have some delight. They must have some supreme pleasure. His heart was never meant to be a vacuum. If not filled with the best things, it will be filled with the unworthy and the disappointing things. Aren't you so pleased when the young ladies in our church, many of them have been baptized here in the last year or so, the last couple of years that I've been here, and I know Miss Gee and her team and some of those folks are teaching those young ladies, and you hear those girls get up here and they talk about the Word of God. They're delighting in the Word of God. What a blessing, right? What glory to God. You see, if a person delights in something, you don't have to beg them to do it. If a person delights in something, you don't have to beg them to do it or to like it. He will do it all by himself. One commentator said, you can measure how much you delight for the word of God by how much you hunger for it. And he says in this text, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And what does he do? He meditates on it day and night. The righteous man only has God's word on his mind 2 times a day. Day and night. God help us, amen? Day and night. I think Spurgeon said you read it during the day and you think about it at night. The Bible talks about God speaks to us even through the watches of the night. Sometimes. Oh, there's so much distracting us, isn't there? In God's grace and for his glory and with all of his help and the power of the Holy Spirit, we could all call upon him to say, Lord, help us think about your law day and night. Because this is what I believe is so important. to the extent that the Word of God gets into you, and to the extent that you are able, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to preach the Word of God back to yourself throughout the day, will be the extent of your joy in this world we live in today. So when that's the case, and if you believe that, you cannot afford not to be in the Word of God. Because there's so many things, so much information, so many stories, so many words that are coming at us all the time. So much political conversations. So many things in our culture. I think the Apostle Paul said something in Ephesians. I believe it's Ephesians 5 when he talked about the washing of the Word. The Word of God, as you get into it and it gets into you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, becomes your filter to filter all this stuff. And therefore, God becomes and is truth, and He's the determiner of what's true. And then we respond to that truth based on what He said, not what the culture said, not what the world says, not what man's opinion is, but what God's truth is. We all need that. We're all, I mean, again, this is all, and you know what's beautiful about whether you're a part of this church or another church? We get to do this together. I don't know every one of the members of this church like I know some of them, but I know I'm a family member of the members of this church. And I know we belong to each other. And I have a life group that I attend that we talk about the Word of God and we do life together, and not always the great mountaintops and sometimes the valleys, but we get to do that together, and that's part of what that looks like. The blessings are there, folks, but the realities that we must do some things are also there. The righteous man ponders the Word of God. He does not just hear it and forget it. He thinks about it. And again, we're saying he meditates on it. And that word meditation can scare us. It doesn't need to scare you. It's a biblical word. But let me compare. We think of meditation, we think of something like Eastern mysticism or something like that. What God is calling us to is quite the opposite. In Eastern mysticism, they're talking about emptying your mind. The psalmist, in the power of the Holy Spirit, is calling us to fill our mind with the Word of God. Because the way God made us, what is in us will come out of us. You listen to somebody long enough, you will know what's important to them. We can't help it. That's the way God made us. And so hopefully, in our sanctification, in our becoming like Christ, we are allowing the Word of God to get into us, and we're surrendering to it, and it grows in us, and it comes out of us. Y'all have heard the old illustration of the cow chewing the cud. I've heard some preachers describe that as an example of meditation. When a cow chews the cud, the cow chews the hay. Chews it, swallows it, brings it back up. Chews it some more, swallows it, brings it back up. Oh dear. The idea is the Word is worthy to be meditated on. Whatever it takes, amen? Whatever it takes. It's not enough just to read it, oh, check. Slow down and meditate on it. May it be a part of who you are and what you do. And I would submit to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ and guests here today, there have been seasons of my life where I haven't been in the Word of God the way that I should, but I will tell you, if you're not, you need to change your schedule so that you can. It's that important. And you know what that looks like for you. You work that out with your Lord. But it's so important. Change your schedule. Stop doing some things and do that. Because it's that important. How do we do this? How do we do this? I think it's multifaceted. We're part of a church. We're part of the family of God. We have God-called people who have been called to preach the Word of God. If you're in a life group, you have life group leaders. If you're in Bible studies, you have Bible study teachers. You have brothers and sisters in Christ. You have your wife. You have your husband. You have your family. You have your kids. And the Word of God becomes important to you. One of the things I think we could borrow from our Jewish friends is the mezuzah. You know what a mezuzah is? It's the little emblem of the scroll, and it's put on your doorpost. And every time a Jewish person goes into their house, they touch the doorpost and they kiss their hand. Because it's the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." It's so important for them that they had to do something with touch, with vision, to remember this is who God is. This is who's important to me. This is what I want in my house. This is who I want to be the king of our lives. This is who I want to govern us. This is our God. In a moment, we're going to take communion. I'm so grateful. Just my thought here. I'm so grateful we remember the body and blood every week. I'm so grateful. Because it causes me to stop if I'm right, if I'm coming prepared, and it causes me to stop and evaluate my life that week. Because we're told to not take it in an unworthy manner. And remember what we're doing. We're not only remembering the body and blood of the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us, we are also proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. How do we do this? We connect with the people of God. We walk together. And the focus this morning is on the first two verses, but look what the results will be. Verse 3, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does is prospers. But the wicked are not so." Verse 4, "But they are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows." Folks, that's the blessedness. I don't care where you're at in your life. In love, I want to tell you, God knows. I don't know if you're hurting today, but I want you to know God knows. There's never a time that he doesn't know. That's blessing. Amen. There's never a time that he's not aware. That's blessing. "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." My friends, God delights in you. And he did everything that needed to be done so that you could delight in him, in the person of Jesus Christ. And until the Lord Jesus comes back, or until he calls you home, the prescription for his blessing is to delight in him, because he delights in you. And he will give you everything you need, because he knows. And Josh, where are you, brother? That's joy. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And we thank you as the worship team comes to lead us in our time of communion. And God, we thank you for this precious word from beginning to end. How good you are to give us the word, your word. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, I speak primarily right now for Grace. I thank you for Grace Bible Church, and I thank you for the people that make up this family. That as we do life together, we experience your blessings together. God, continue to lead us in our connecting. Continue to lead us in our study of your word. Continue to lead us in our corporate worship. Continue to lead us in your presence, Father. So God, we just again want to tell you thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. We are about to take communion. And again, we do this every week. And it's so very important to us. And we want to invite you, if you are visiting with us, but you're a part of the family of God, you've repented of your sins and trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please participate in that. If you are not a Christian, if you're not a follower of Christ, we just kindly ask you not to, because it's not for you. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Bring you to his family. Until then, please don't partake. I'm going to be in the back if there's anybody that would like to spend some time in prayer or has a question or would like to talk about anything they've heard. I would love to talk to you. But continue to get your heart ready for communion. Let's go forth. Thank you.